baptism. What exactly does it mean to be baptized? Many people debate about baptism, what it means. How old should someone be to be baptized? What is the qualifications to be baptized? What does it mean? What does it mean to be baptized? There's a lot of discussion out there, and I spent about a minute or two studying this the last couple months. And I hope and pray that as we go through this, it'll speak life. Let's just start here. I'll start here, and this could get lengthy. I'm just warning you ahead of time. Maybe I need to turn this on. In the beginning, we need to understand that Adam and Eve were created perfect beings. We cannot even begin to comprehend what it must have been like to be in a perfect world. Completely perfect. No sin. And let me explain that. This is what it looked like in the beginning. Body, soul, and spirit were all chained together as one being. Okay? In the beginning. And they were controlled by Spirit God. God created them. They belonged to God from the beginning. That's the way it was intended to be in the Garden of Eden. Okay? Then separation of Adam's spirit with the Spirit of God, which sin brought death. Okay? Death to what? Adam and Eve were still walking around in the garden, were they not? So what was the death to? If sin brought death, it brought death to the spirit of man. His soul and body were still functioning just like they were prior to the sin. Sin brought death to the spirit. And the spirit now was controlled, okay? Satan controlled spirit, soul, and body. And as you see the chains on my picture there, and this is very rough graphics to try and explain what happened that day when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. They literally gave up their birthright to be a creation or to be controlled by the Spirit of God. They were completely controlled by the devil at that point. They gave up everything. They gave their spirit over. They gave their right to belong to the kingdom of God over to the kingdom of Satan. That was the way it was in the beginning. Okay? Now, you can turn with me to Matthew 3, 4 to 12. Then all this stuff, as you think about the sin, okay? Now, when somebody sinned after that, what happened in the garden? Even in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, something had to be sacrificed. God made skins from animal skins to clothe them. Something had to shed blood for them. All the way through the Old Testament, that is just the way it was. Every time somebody sinned, there had to be a shedding of blood. Now, we turn into Matthew 3, and all of a sudden, we see John the Baptist coming, and he is all fired up. And he's saying, are you ready for this? Are you ready? And by the way, when I read this, this is the only place in Scripture where I can find that baptism of water washes away sin. It's the only place. Starting in verse 1 there, verse 4, Matthew 3, verse 4, it says this. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Now, prior to this here, this is a whole new concept, because prior to this here, an animal had to be killed and the blood had to be shed for the remission of sin. And John comes with a new idea and he says, are you ready for this? Listen, if you come down to the river, I can baptize you with water for the remission of sin. confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" Here's what he told them. All of a sudden, now, I didn't do a deep study on this part because there may have been a time in between here when he first come talking about baptizing with water. And the fact that the Pharisees, all of a sudden, this became a cool thing to do, to get baptized. And here come the Pharisees and Sadducees, and they come down through there, and they want to be baptized. John called them a brood of vipers for a very specific reason, and the very reason I want to talk about today. There was no change of life. None. Absolutely none. They came there to be baptized with no life change. They did not repent or turn away from anything. They just wanted to come and do a religious act. Okay. Then he says, the brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And my challenge today is, again, are we producing fruit to keep with repentance? And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, okay? I tell you, out of these stones, God can raise up children of Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Now, turn with me to Romans 6. When John was saying this, though, in Matthew, as you're turning to Romans 6, you know, he was stating a fact. And then he told them, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He's the one that will ignite the fire of love, passion, and the gospel message within you. That's Jesus. That Spirit is what's going to ignite that passion within you. It's not the baptism that ignites that passion within you. It is Jesus Christ. But it didn't happen yet because he had not yet been crucified. He had not been crucified, buried, and rose again. So that could not happen at this time yet. He said he's coming. Okay. Now I understand that when he walked on this earth, he did many miracles. But the Spirit, when he ascended, he said, I will send you the Spirit, the Comforter. Okay, that's what will ignite the fire in you and I today. That will ignite that fire. Now as we turn to Romans 6. I'll read it as I have it here. It's in NIV. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning, starting in verse 1? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. I'm not sure what I did here. There we go. Okay, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. The death he died to sin once for all. And the life he lives to God. We'll talk more about that. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. I just want to point out right there real quick. You are no longer under the law. If you are born again, you have come to the foot of the cross and you have cried out, repented of your past life. You are born again through the cross of Jesus Christ, and now you are under grace. Does that mean we should continue on in sin? God forbid. That's what Romans 6 was talking about at the beginning. But he's explaining what happens when we die and be baptized. Now, Acts 2, 38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Here in Acts 19, Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him. That is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, here we go back to where we were when sin entered the world. By the way, you can look, and this is pretty blunt. And I don't mean this to hurt anybody. I'm just saying the facts. You can look at your little child. We're all born into sin. Any way you want to look at it. You cute little bundle of sin. Literally. You can train them. You can teach them so many things. Someday, they must repent. Someday they must repent. They must acknowledge what's happening. They have got to repent. They cannot just be brought into a kingdom without no repentance. I want to explain that. Okay? Owned and controlled by Satan. When we are born again, just like you saw the picture of the cross, when we cry out and we are born again, the spirit is changed on the inside. Okay, the spirit gets changed on the inside, and now our spirit is now again connected and seated in heavenly places. Does that make sense? Our spirit is alive. But here's what happens. When that happens, our spirit separates from our soul and body. Our spirit is alive in Christ. Okay, so now we have a spirit inside, but we have a soul and a body that is still controlled by the devil. I need you to understand this because there's so many people come from the outside and the world influence and try and change everything to the inside and it will never, never work. You can teach a child as much as you want from the outside, okay? Until they have a spirit change on the inside, there will be no life. This is why John the Baptist was so passionate about calling them Pharisees a brood of vipers. There was no change. There was nothing happened. They just pretended to be good people and kept right on doing the things they did, whatever that meant. Okay? Now, there's two kingdoms. What are they? Two kingdoms. Anybody, what are they? Kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. What separates the two? What separates the two kingdoms? Law. Law separates the two kingdoms. When the law came into effect, it taught everybody what sin was, and it separated the two kingdoms. Okay? Through the cross, our spirit is connected with God. Okay? Now, I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to tell them, what do you think the word world means? When the Bible says, and I've had a little girl challenge me one time, bless her heart, when I was sharing about the world, and they said, whoa, he's not right. My Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So God does not hate the world. There's two different words used for the word world. That one was the people. For God so loved the people. Okay? But what does this word world mean where it says this, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What does that word world mean to you when you hear it? Go ahead, just turn to your neighbor and tell them, what do you think of when you think of the word world? Then I want to hear some comments. What do you think of when you think of the word world? What do you think of? Anybody? What do you think of when you think of the word world? What is it? What is it?
Kingdom of darkness.
People outside the realm of God. Anything influenced by Satan, absolutely. It's a system. Absolutely. It is a system. So if we have two kingdoms, we have two rulers. The ruler of the kingdom of God is who? God. And the ruler of the kingdom of darkness is who? Satan. So if we have two kingdoms and we say the kingdom, the world is a system. Okay? The system does not love you, by the way. The system hates you. It hates you for everything that it's worth. And here's what Jesus was saying. You are born again in the Spirit, but the rest of you I want also. And he says, through baptism, through baptism, we are taking the stand to say that my body and my soul will no longer take messages from this system, the world. We will now choose to take the messages from the newborn spirit inside. Does that make sense? We are going to die to the world system. When we died in Christ, in Romans 6, when we died in Christ, we are going to die. Our flesh must die to the world system. And the way we think, the way we feel, the way we believe, all these things in the soul level must be of the world system. Okay, so now they started baptizing and we started bringing people into the kingdom. People got born again or people got on fire for the Lord and people were baptized from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. They wanted nothing to do with the system. That happened for many years. And then the dark ages came. The time of where everything was controlled by government, everything, either church and everything. And all of a sudden we have this dilemma going on, and we see it today, right here. If that is so true, that I can be baptized and be taken out of the kingdom of darkness, and I am renouncing the world system, and I'm going to live in the kingdom of God, why not drop baptism down to a baby? Where there's no kingdom of darkness. Now we'll baptize them as a baby, and they will automatically be in the kingdom of God. Who did that? Roman Catholic. What was it the kingdom of? What does that mean? Does anybody know what that means? Catholic. What does that mean? It was the kingdom of the Pope, is what I call it. I mean, I'm just saying, okay? The Catholic means general or everybody. That's just in a broad sense. It means general or everybody. So if we baptize them in there, then everybody is not in the kingdom of darkness, and we do away with the kingdom of darkness. How long do you think that worked? In fact, it's still happening today. But what I want to share this morning is not a Protestant view. It's not a Catholic view. It's not any view except an Anabaptist view because of the baptism. I need that to be understood because it is serious business. Why did they get so angry? The word world, here we have it, as means system. Okay? I don't want to get ahead of myself. I want to make this clear. Okay? We lowered the bar down. And then we call it the kingdom of everybody. Okay? Now, Romans 6:16 says this. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as a slave, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you're slaves of sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Now, do we know what systems really are? What is a system? Somebody give me an idea. What is a system? Business.
Business system. Let's just start there. Business system. Okay? We have a system of business that is designed to kill you. It is not your friend. And we have become friends of the world system. I can go government, prison, advertising, bank, school, sports, church, everything that is operated by a system, if we worship that and we live for that, it is designed to kill us. We should have nothing to do with it. Okay, does that mean that we should not have a business? No, that does not mean we should not have a business. We are in this world, but not of the world. And I did not say that we shouldn't play sports. Just for the record, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, listen, I'll give you an example. Here's what happened. I had a good friend of mine that was really into racing, and he raced sprint cars and modifieds. Loved it, and he was good at it, and he was winning all the time. His name was in the paper, his pictures all the time. He was one of the best there in Pennsylvania in the track circle. Guess what happened? He lost his wife. He lost his children because the system killed him. You see what I mean? The system is designed to kill you. Sports is another one. I had a friend that was really into golfing, okay? He loved it. Him and I golfed all the time. But he got caught up in the system. And all of a sudden, he became so good that he got his pro status, okay? When he got his pro status, that's all he did every day. Guess what? His wife left him. He moved to Myrtle Beach to become a pro at golf. The system killed him. Today, he doesn't even acknowledge there's a God. He was very influential in my salvation. Today, he won't even acknowledge there's a God. The system killed him. That man, I believe 100%, was born again. His spirit was on fire, seated in heavenly places, but he refused to cut his soul and body off from the world. And he allowed the system to kill him. Today, he won't even acknowledge the name of Christ. That's the systems I'm talking about. That's what the system is designed to do. Some of this may make a little more sense when you see how passionate I get about systems. Okay? Now, if in baptism we are taking and making a stand and saying that I will not be involved with this system, the world system, and I am going to allow my body to take commands and my soul to take messages and commands from a heavenly place, what do you think the ruler of the kingdom of darkness is going to do? What's he going to do? If you had a kingdom and somebody was leaving your kingdom, what would you do? You would do whatever it took to keep them there, wouldn't you? Satan did that. Right here. And I don't know that this is what these guys look like. But they finally started. This was back in the 1500s, 1400s, late 14s, early 15s. Anyway, 1537, somewhere in there. A group of men that were involved with the Catholic Church started studying their Bibles. Wasn't that a good move? Yeah. They actually started studying their Bibles to figure out what is going on. What is happening? And they started realizing that this baptism thing is a joke to most people. They don't understand it and they're taking it for granted. And they started saying, we need to be baptized as a believer, a repentant believer, understanding what is happening in the world kingdom, in baptism, understanding what's happening in baptism, not oblivious to it, just understanding. You know, there's so many times we have this where we're completely oblivious to what is really involved with it. Why do you think that when they took that stand and they started saying we need to be baptized as believers, Satan took the realms of hell and cast it against them, and many of these men perished? Why? Most of them didn't live to be 30 years old. And listen, we are systematic people. We operate systematically. But we may not let the system of this world kill us. Okay, we are systematic people. We are created with a format. We like things done in order. Okay, that's who we are. Okay, but if we allow the system to tell us who we are bought by a system that is of darkness, the kingdom of darkness. Now, I'll explain some of that. Hopefully, it'll make it more clear here in a minute. Okay, but as this started happening, as they started persecuting these people because they're saying, I'm leaving the kingdom of darkness and I am choosing to be part of the kingdom of God. As they decided that, the Roman Catholic Church got so angry, they started killing them. But the church grew and grew and grew because they pulled themselves away from the system. Listen, it was that serious, they wouldn't even take money from the government. Okay? They would not even take money from the government. The government tried to buy some of these people. I will even pay for your house and your farm if you will recant and become unbaptized. I'm not sure how you do that. But to renounce that system, to renounce the fact that you were being baptized as a believer. They were even offering to do that and they refused it. They would have nothing to do with anything that had to do with the system of this world. They renounced it completely. Today we love the world. Okay? Baptism. One thing I want to point out there with them people, the Roman Catholic Church didn't even care if these people said they were born again, by the way. That didn't even matter to them, if they were born again. That didn't even matter. The first question they would ask them was, were you rebaptized? That's what they were being persecuted for. Being baptized as a believer, making a strong, bold statement to the world system saying, I will sit in heavenly places with my body and I will take messages from my spirit that is connected now to God. I refuse to be involved with the world system. Okay? Now, I want you to know something. Why that happened was Satan recognizes baptism. The forces of darkness recognize baptism. Maybe you can just turn to your neighbor and say, Satan hates baptism, because he does. He hates it for everything it's worth, because he no longer has control of you. Tell your neighbor, Satan hates baptism. Everybody, tell your neighbor, Satan hates baptism, because he does. He despises of it, because we're making a bold statement that the demonic world can understand. Okay, they cannot read your mind, but when you take a stand like that, you're making a bold statement to the demonic world around you to state why I'm doing this. That's why I think it's so important that we understand baptism prior to baptism. Okay? Now, Satan threw all these terrors of hell against the Anabaptists. There was burnings, there was beheadings, there was drownings, there was all kinds of things happened to them in the most gruesome ways you could even imagine. Limbs torn off of bodies. They were doing the awfulest thing to these people. Now imagine a church doing that. All because they were not regenerated Christians. And all because of the Anabaptists were now being regenerated. You understand what I mean? Regenerated. They were saying no to the system of this world. And they were saying yes to the kingdom of God. Okay. Now, here's where we're at. We're born again. Our spirit is born again, seated in heavenly places. And we have cut the chains to our soul and our body. So our spirit is alive, but we love the world. What are we going to do about that? This is what needs to happen. All these chains that are feeding our soul. Where do you think the frustrations come in at? Where do you think the anger comes from? Where do you think all these things come from that are trying to destroy the spirit within you? They need to be cut off. Every one of them. Every one of them needs to be cut off. And the body needs to die. In baptism, we are buried in Christ's death and risen again. We need to die to the world system. And when we do that, our soul will start taking messages from the kingdom of God. We must understand that we want our soul to be fed from the spirit, not from the body. We should not take our feelings, our mind, will, and emotions from the body, or we are part of this world. That's what the world system wants you to do. It wants you to take your feelings from there. It wants you to get your thinking from there. It wants to control your thinker from the world system instead of from the Spirit of God. Okay. And then eventually the spirit grows and grows and it connects with the soul. Okay. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Here's how some people look at that. And I'm not picking on anybody in particular here. But there is some people would say, do not love the modern or anything in the modern. If anyone loves the modern, the love of the Father is not in him. Do not love sports. If anybody loves sports or anything in sports, if anyone loves the sports, the love of the Father is not in him. That's not what it's saying. It's talking about the system that operates them things. There is a system that operates. Okay, it operates, okay, in school, and I mentioned school. Listen, you could get the wisest man in the world, and I'm not saying don't go to school. I want you to hear me very clearly. I'm talking about the system. Okay, the system is if you become the wisest person, you will have everything. Right? You'll have everything. I can't think of his name. I can't think of his name right now. But there was a man I was reading about that had everything. Financial system. This is a business system again. He had everything. The last 15 years of his life, he locked himself away in his own castle. There was nothing left to life. Nothing. The system killed him. Hopefully this makes sense. Well, I'm talking about the system. I'm not talking, it's not wrong to be involved with business. It's not wrong to be involved with these things. We are part of them. But we can't let them control us. Okay? Hughes or something like that. There's his name, right? Do you know it?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Howard Hughes.
Howard Hughes, that's it. Howard Hughes. And he just locked himself away. He had everything. The system killed him. Okay, do not love the world system or anything in the world system. If anyone loves the world system, the love of the Father is not in him. We cannot let these systems control our every being. James 4:4 says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. What is it? What is it in your world that you are buying into or believing or following or being sold out to that is a world system that is killing you? Listen, I won't wear a pink shirt. I'm sorry. And this doesn't mean it's wrong for anybody else to. I'm not saying that. I won't. Somebody might put one on me when I'm dead, but I will not wear a pink shirt. There is a system back when I was a young man that said, real men wear pink. Who said that? Where did that come from? It's a system, is it not? We're supposed to accept all these things. Is that the system or is that the truth? You got to determine that. I won't wear a shirt that says they're apostle either. And that doesn't mean it's wrong for you. But there's a system behind it. I have a friend of mine, really close friend, and I won't say it's related to me. But anyhow, they had two little boys when we lived in Pennsylvania. She would not even buy clothes that didn't say Tommy Hilfiger for her kid. Her child would not wear any clothes that didn't say Tommy Hilfiger. That is being controlled by a system. People, we cannot allow that. I mean, that is killing people everywhere. When we latch on to what the world says is cool. And by the way, where does it ever say anything that a 13 and a 15-year-old can tell parents what's cool? It's the system. It's the system we live in. That's what's controlling it. Are we going to continue to allow it? Do we understand what I'm saying about the system? These systems are designed to kill us. Baptism is simply stating this. I am choosing in my body to leave the kingdom of darkness and the world systems. I will not love the world. And I am leaving that and seated in the kingdom of God. I am choosing to be destroyed in the flesh to live in the kingdom of God and receive my messages from the Spirit of God and not from the kingdom of this world.
Through baptism, we are loosed from the kingdom of darkness, transported into the kingdom of God. But here's one of the other problems. We want to hang on to the world system like this. They need to be cut, but we want to hang on to just one. We want to hang on somewhere to a world system. And anytime we do that and we do not crucify that system that we're hanging on to, we are receiving our messages from the kingdom of darkness. And our mind, will, and emotions are then operated by that system. The way we think, some of the things, the way we attack each other comes from that very thing. And I'm as guilty of that as anybody. I can have something I'm hanging on to. And I can receive messages from the wrong kingdom. I want to be seated in the kingdom of God. And through baptism, I understand we are stating to the king, demonic realm that we are no longer going to be part of that system. And I want to cut them all off. Have we cut them all off? Have we cut them all off? I have been crucified, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Here's what it looks like. This is the world. And we need to cut off everything about us that is connected to that outside world so that the chains can be, so our messages can be brought by the Spirit. We cannot serve two masters. It's impossible. So either we're going to be lovers of the world system or we're going to be born again, transported into the kingdom of God. But we want to do that and also hang on to the system. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. This happens through clothing, entertainment, business. And this is just small. This is small compared to where we can take it. I want to ask you a question this morning. What is it that you're hanging on to? What is it that you're hanging on to? Is there something in this world that you are chasing to become the greatest and you're hanging on to it for all it's worth? Because it is designed to kill you. It is not your friend. The world system is not your friend. Whether that's through business, entertainment, clothing, the music media, the movies, the everything about it, they are designed to kill you. And we love the world. And the Bible says, love not the world or anything in the world. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's pretty point blank. I'm not going to keep on this here, but I'm going to stop and say, where are you at? Where are we at? Where are we at as a group? To be part of that kingdom of God, we must yield our body, our soul, and our spirit to the new kingdom. It's not just about being born again and living like the world. That is not a belief that is carried by very many people. I'm going to ask you to stand. Just everybody stand. If you know that there is a part of you that loves the world system in whatever way, shape, or form that is. Mark, do you have a song or something you can play? Just something. I should have told you. If there is something that you think of that God spoke to you, that you need to renounce and say, I want no parts of that this morning. This is your time. This is your time to come and pray, renounce, and be alive. Be alive. Seated in heavenly places. Renounce the kingdom of darkness. That we want no parts to do with that.
This is your time.